Today on Real Radio.
You don't have the authority to make decisions about your own life. You are created in the image of God. God's got a plan for your life. And Paul is telling us, listen, keep heaven in your sights. Because this world is passing and it will all be over.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from an unusual passage of Scripture, the first 10 verses of chapter 12. Here's where the apostle reveals a supernatural experience that he had 14 years earlier. Now, we've all heard about people having near-death experiences, and they go on to sometimes write books and make movies, but what Paul witnessed in his case was something that he said he couldn't even talk about. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in a lesson called When Heaven Becomes Real.
When Heaven Becomes Real, this is not some sort of a title that you have the option to create heaven or not. That's not what it means. We are not saying that when heaven becomes real, then it is in fact a reality. That's not what we're saying. We are saying that when heaven becomes real to your life's existence as a Christian, that's when things really begin to matter. Heaven is real, period, if you believe in it or not. It's where God lives, it's eternal, and for those of you who trust Christ, it's where you're going. It's your actual home. It's where you're heading. It's where we're going. And Paul lets us in on an amazing, very personal, very private experience of his life that he was forced to make public because of the accusations being levied against him by the Judaizers, by the legalists, by those who were trying to undermine his ministry. And so Paul defends himself, and he is, in a sense, forced to boast about things that he didn't want to talk about. But even under that pressure, he does not spill the beans regarding what heaven is like. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says in verse 2, in the third person regarding himself, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. We talked about that last time. Verse 3, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself, that is in his flesh at that moment, I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, this is remarkable insight here for us, by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect or completed, perfected in weakness. Now Paul responds, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Church, last time, very quickly, we looked at the first argument that he gave us in verses 1 to 3 regarding when heaven becomes real. And we saw this in our first argument, is that things become more clear to us. When you and I live with the anticipation and the understanding that heaven is a reality and we are en route to it every day of our lives. Number one, things become clear in our living. Everything becomes defined and viewed through our heavenly eyes, as it were. And we saw that in two ways, two key ways. That when that happens, you and I become less in the grand scheme of what's going on in our lives. In other words, the difficulties, the challenges, the joys, the excitements, the achievements, the setbacks, we have a tendency to take them, listen, too seriously in the wrong direction. We take them as some profound defeat for us and we'll never recover. In fact, our culture today has been diluted by this victim mentality. And as long as we're embracing this victim mentality, these hardships that come against us, we'll never get victory. The Word of God, in some ways, will be held back and having full reign and power in our lives if we are the victims all the time. God takes, listen, the victims of this world, I'm speaking of myself, and He doesn't leave us there because you can't have victory there. And God infuses into us His promises. He infuses into us His hope, His joy, and ultimately, our destination in heaven. I become less in the factor, but look at number two, He becomes more. I decrease, He increases. And Paul showed us that in our weaknesses, our strength becomes the very strength of God. And that all of these things that happen to you and I, we take them so seriously, we don't need to. We need to realize, you know what? Jesus said there'd be days like this. Did you feel the earthquake the other day? Jesus said there'd be days like this. Did you lose your job? Are things rough in your marriage? Are things rough with your kids? Are you having an emotional difficulty time or a spiritual difficulty of time? Listen, Jesus said there'd be days like this. But He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. God's at work in your life. You may be here today saying to yourself, this is it. This is my last Sunday. I'm going to go to church one more time. And after that, I'm just going to end it all or what. I don't know what you're thinking. But listen, number one, my dear friend, I say this with affection. You don't have the authority to make decisions about your own life. Did you hear what I said? You don't have the authority to make decisions about your own life. You are created in the image of God. God's got a plan for your life. And Paul is telling us, listen, keep heaven in your sights. Because this world is passing and it will all be over. When heaven becomes real, number two, this is where we left off last time, is that life becomes exciting. I can't think of a more exciting life than to live the Christian life in a dynamic reality. God wants to use the Christian. Listen, I have little regard for the bored Christian. The Christian who's bored with their Christianity. I think that's an oxymoron. How can that be true? How can those two things meet? If you're a Christian today, you are sold out or given over to God. If that's true, you're so excited because you don't know what's going to happen next in your life. Hey, listen, if you're not a Christian today, life is that way anyway to some degree. Life's crazy. I mean, life's just happening. But as a Christian, it's awesome because my God knows what's going to happen next. He knows exactly what's going to come down with you. And He's prepared you for it so that when it happens, you can embrace it with zeal. You can embrace it with comfort and excitement. No matter what comes your way. I mean that. I'm not just preaching and teaching right now from some velvet pulpit. I'm telling you, all of us have got problems. Do you have problems? Seven of us now. I'll add myself. That's eight of us. We've got problems. You've got problems. I've got problems. All God's children got problems. And we need to understand what Paul is teaching us here is that when heaven is a reality, and it's the way that we view, it's the lens that we view life through, changes things dramatically. We saw last time, and we had to end right here, look at verse 4, deeper things exist, thank God. Deeper things exist. He says, I know this man who was caught up into paradise. He's speaking about himself. Now, this is interesting, circle the word paradise, because as we touched on it last time, and I can't spend much time on it now for time's sake, but I want everybody's attention, because I love what this means. Do you remember, as we made note a few weeks ago, that when Jesus went down and preached to the souls that were in paradise, that He led captivity captive, says the Bible, and that He gave gifts unto men. You can get that Wednesday night study on the parables. regarding Jesus Christ when he died. And the Bible tells us that Christ would have gone down to what the Jews refer to as Abraham's bosom. Noah was there. Daniel was there. Isaiah was there. Those who died before Christ was resurrected from the dead went to this place called Sheol. Paradise, but it was divided. It was a compartment. By the way, watch this. Think of the Grand Canyon. On one side was paradise, Abraham's bosom, place of comfort, and the Old Testament saints were there. Then there was this canyon, this rift, massive. And on the other side were those who were being tormented in what's called Hades or hell. This is where the godless are at today. They're in that place. They have not entered the ultimate punishment, the lake of fire. That is yet future. Nobody's in there right now. When Jesus died, the Bible says he took those who died believing in him, Noah, Daniel, Abraham, and he took them and then deposited them into heaven with, mind you, the thief on the cross that said, when Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. You got that picture? You got that? Why? Because Jesus had to be the first fruits that entered paradise, entered heaven above. Not so much the paradise beneath, which was temporal, but the paradise above is forever. And the word paradise, as you know last time, is a word that's rooted in Persian thought and language. And it means the garden, which now casts, listen, this view upon the Garden of Eden. It means that the Garden of Eden, as awesome as it was simply a model of the garden in heaven above or the eternal state. What do we know about that? Not much. We just know it must be awesome, that Garden of Eden is just a knockoff, and that is it is beyond description where we're going in heaven above, where God is at. And so Paul is speaking to us, and look what he says regarding this. Two key words. He says, number one, what he saw, he heard words, inexpressible words that are not lawful for a man to speak. No human in this unglorified state has the right or the ability to speak about what he saw. In that death experience that we looked at last time when Paul was in Lystra, in the book of Acts, he saw a glimpse of heaven, the abode of God, and it is illegal for someone to speak about it according to the Bible. And some of you are a little bit out of shape because you had just bought a book about what heaven is like. And that's tough. Don't buy me the book. Don't even ask me to read it. I'm not going to read it because the Bible says you can't know about it. So if I'm going to read it, as I said last time, I'm going to read this book about heaven. The amazing thing is I get to see glimpses of eternity from this book, but the actual abode of God, you can't find it in the Bible. All it says about the abode of God is it's too awesome. Human words cannot describe. That's where you're going. That's where I'm going. I'm trusting Christ. That's where we're going as believers. And remember last time we said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the hearts of man. The things, imagine that, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's a reference to heaven. What an amazing thought that is. And so we look now in verses 5 to 6 regarding life becomes more exciting, regarding the eternal realities that await us. Eternal realities that await us regarding heaven. Verse 5 says, such a one, I will not boast. That is so cool. I can't brag in my human skin. That's what he's saying. Imagine all the reporters gathered around Paul. CNN, Vanity Fair, The Atlantic, Fox News. Paul, tell us what you saw. And he said, in this skin? His answer is awesome. In this body, with this tongue, right now, on this side of eternity? I can't tell you. I don't have the capability. This ought to get you excited. I don't have the apparatus. And if I did have the apparatus enough to explain it to you, which I don't, if I did, you don't have the apparatus to understand it. So Paul said, I ain't going to talk about it. Can you imagine being that little amazing Jewish evangelist, church planter, born again, a Jew born anew, dynamo for God, who from Genesis eventually to the book of Revelation delighted in God, walked around this world. Remember, we saw that he covered nearly or a little over 12,000 miles in his lifetime. And he had this treasure in his heart and his head the whole time. Listen, when you have heaven as a reality in your life's living, you'll be able to put up with anything. I saw a clip recently of POWs, and they were brutally tortured. This is during the Vietnam War era, brutally tortured. And they asked these guys who survived, "How did you survive?" And they said, "You know what? When we were being tortured, our minds went to other places." Listen, everybody. When we were being abused like that, our minds just went to other places. And they asked, "Well, what places?" And one guy said, he was from Idaho, and he said, I went fishing on the Snake River. One guy said, this one guy was from San Diego. He said, you know where I went while I was being beaten and tortured? He said, I was walking the beach with my kids in San Diego. If this is where the human heart and psyche goes under deep persecution and hardship, then listen, isn't just a little bit of flirtatious announcement from the Word of God to you and I that when difficult times arrive, and they're arriving, the train's coming. Listen, the train's coming. And on that train, on the side, it doesn't say Conrail and it doesn't say Burlington Northern. It says financial difficulty, physical hardships, persecution, sickness, whatever. It's coming. The train's coming. What are you going to do? Your mind and your heart as a Christian is going to go to the promises of God. Amen. It's an awesome thing. Why? Because it's the eternity's treasures that await us that we fix our eyes on. If you don't have your eyes fixed on those glorious arrival points for us, then listen, life's going to be tough, my friend. And so Paul says, I can't boast about these things in my human skin. What does my human skin know about this? But I will boast regarding those things that I saw. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible tells us, and you he made alive. He's speaking about believers who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you remember those trespasses and sins was all we could think about? Remember, that's how you and I lived. We made plans. We had them on our day timer. We called up people and said, hey, are you willing next Saturday night to trespass and sin with me? Do you remember that? Remember before you were a Christian, you called people and you met people and you said, "Would you want to sin and commit trespasses?" That's what we were doing. But he made us alive. He changed us in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's a reference to Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But he changed us. He put eternity in our hearts, and we're going to heaven. Amen. Paul talks about here regarding his weaknesses, his infirmities in verse 5. He says, I'll boast, but in these things only, my weaknesses. Now, this is so bizarre to us in our carnal thinking. How can you boast and take strength in your infirmities? Now, you think about this. The word means weaknesses. So which one of us in this room today is not weak? Think about it. We are all weak. We are weak. The fun thing about getting old as a Christian is that the stuff that you used to like have doubts about or you believed a certain way one way, as you get older now, you know the truth now. When somebody comes up and says, hey, I'm not afraid of anything, Pastor. You know what you know? You just go like this. Okay, uh-huh. In your mind, you're going, liar, liar, bitch, on fire. You know now. It's like, man, this guy's full of himself. Anyway, praise the Lord. How are you doing? I'm not afraid of anything. Yeah, okay. And listen, the glorious thing about getting older in the Lord is discovering the great benefits with weaknesses of this body is that the Lord has to show up. Listen, I'm going to let you in on a secret. You better write it down. You can't buy it anywhere. The great thing about getting older in Jesus is that weaknesses advance. They come upon you. And you say, well, how can that be a good thing? Oh, listen. Because if you're going to present yourself, no matter how old you are, or it doesn't matter how old you are, how weak you may become, you could be young and you could be suffering weakness. Here's a little trick that you can't get in a pill. Present yourself to God to be used by him. And you say, well, how can I do that? I'm so weak. I'm getting weaker by the day. That's my point. Give him your weakness, and he fills that area with his strength, and you get to see all of the wonderful things that God is doing through you, and you're the one who knows that it's not you, it's God doing it. Your friends may get confused and say, look at him, he must take geritol, or he must be all over that. And sure, he's doing fantastic. And little do they know, the moment you say amen, you get to go back to your geriatric state with your walker and go back after you've mission accomplished for Jesus. Are you with me? Are you understanding what I'm talking about? It's absolutely amazing. Think about it. Well, I'm just too old to serve the Lord. No, you're not. You're just about ready. Just about ready. Get involved. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship, our politics, by the way, that's what the word means, is in heaven. In the present tense, mind you, from which, in the present tense, we also eagerly wait for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. That means every Christian who has the Holy Spirit in them eagerly awaits for the Lord's return. If that's not a passion of your heart, you need to take yourself before the throne of God and talk to God. A believer knows that the Bible teaches Jesus could come back, or for that matter, you could choke on your lunch today and go see him. The question is, does that excite you about the prospect of eternity awaiting you? Verse 21 of Philippians 3, who will transform our lowly bodies. The word lowly means vile, powerless, humiliated. Isn't that interesting? The Bible suggests to us that the moment Adam and Eve sinned, in an instant our bodies became humiliated. Wow! That is an amazing thing to think about. That it may be conformed to his glorious body. That word glorious means it's doxa in the Greek, like doxology. Magnificent, dignified, wonderful body. According to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. Translation, Jesus is coming back. He's going to transform our bodies and make them ready for our ultimate politic. That is heaven above, where our citizenship is recorded in the present tense now. Look at you. Look at you. You're sitting here, but you're not really here. What? Are you an American citizen? Yes, you are, but you're a citizen of heaven. That's more important. Do you have a passport? Yep, ain't nothing compared to the passport called Jesus. Ain't nothing. I just got, I travel a lot, and I just got this thing when I come back from some foreign country, I get to bypass customs. I don't have to stand in line. Woo-hoo! Look at you. I don't have to stand in line anymore. Technically, I don't even have... I have to have my passport. You're supposed to have it on your body, of course, in case they ask you for it. But I don't have to show it anymore. Woo-hoo! Well, it definitely came with a big cost.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called When Heaven Becomes Real. It's actually a series within a series taken from the first paragraph of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this unique New Testament letter, and we'll continue with more of When Heaven Becomes Real on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you have not visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org is a great resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything connected to Real Radio. You can access previously aired Real Radio programs, real life videos, real life devotions. Of course, you hear us mention those from time to time. You can get in on our special offers and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month, and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.